Forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Christ is in our midst. I greet all of you on this Cheese Fair Sunday, the expulsion of Adam from paradise, Forgiveness Sunday. These are all sort of the themes of this last Sunday before we enter the Great Lent. And I already commented on the gospel to some extent in my little letter, so I wanted to offer my comments in regard to what's placed before us in the icon, the expulsion of Adam from paradise. And you've heard me say some of these things before, so it's not going to be new, but it's to remind us of what's happening and what has been happening during these preparatory Sundays before we enter the Great Lent. And of course, we all know the story of how Adam and Eve got booted out of paradise. Adam and Eve was created to be in paradise with God. That was the intent. That was the intent from the beginning. And Adam and Eve were given free will, because there's no way to have a relationship with created creatures if they don't have the ability to say, I don't want that relationship, or I do want that relationship. So God gives them that ability. He offers them everything in the garden. And everything in the garden is how they commune with God. And yet he set aside two trees in the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life, that they could not touch these trees. It's interesting, some of the church fathers talk about in time, they probably could touch these trees. But the problem was, is that most of the fathers would say, is that almost instantaneously, almost the moment they were placed in the garden, to till the garden, to be stewards of the temple that God gave them, to share in His divinity, to share in His dominion over creation. The moment they were given their high role and high dignity, they decided to go their own way. And of course now, the problem with that is they can no longer remain as stewards of that garden temple. They can no longer fulfill their priestly function. They can no longer be prophetic. They can no longer offer God praise. They can no longer be kings and queen with God. That was all ruined almost instantaneously. And of course, Adam and Eve felt shame. That's why they hid themselves. And when God walked in the garden and He asks in Scripture, "Where are you?" He's not asking for their geographic location. He's asking, "Where are you? What has happened to you? Why are you not of the dignity that I created you to be in?" And of course, they started pointing fingers at each other, as people do. She points to the snake. He points to her. And the problem now that they can no longer fulfill their responsibility and calling, because in their shame and in their distorted understanding of God and of themselves, they could not touch the tree of life. So they had to leave the garden. Now in Western Christianity, the theme for them is punishment. They transgress God. And there's a punishment that needs to take place. And the crime is so great that they need to have, that God needs to be appeased with a blood sacrifice. The crucifixion of His Son. And of course, that is not at all what Christianity is. Never has been. That's something that developed in the West. But it's not Christianity. The reason they were kicked out of the garden is because of God's mercy. Yes, there's an element of punishment, but a punishment that they brought unto themselves, not a punishment that God has to place on them. Sin, my dear brothers and sisters, has its own punishment. And that's why we read in the epistle, we don't judge other people. Because that puts us in a position that we're really not to be in. We're not called to be in that position, nor are we qualified. And believe me, those who are steeped in sin, they have their punishment. They don't need us to heap on top of them. But it's God's mercy that says, get out. Because you cannot touch that tree in the condition you are in. So get out, get into the world, and go to the place that you created, that you desire. And that is the world in which we live today. Now, I know that all of us in here intellectually want to be towards God. Otherwise, you'd be doing something else today, watching football or baseball or hockey, or hopefully hockey. You'd be doing something else today. You wouldn't be here. There's at least an intellectual inclination towards God that I should go to church, that I should do something, that I should, you know. But ultimately, I really don't want to repent. I don't really want to change my ways. That's most of us. Lent, then, is that opportunity to live outside the garden, knowing that we are not qualified or capable to be in the garden, but to somehow extract ourselves from the world a little bit so that we can focus on the task at hand, and that is the salvation of our souls, which is impossible in the world. The world has not produced a single saint. The world does not produce virtue. The world does not produce sanity. The world does not produce truth. In fact, it would be just the opposite for all of those things that the world of men produces. All you have to do is open your eyes and look around. So the church says, because we are sloppy, because we are steeped in sin, because we don't know how to do certain things, because we live in the fallen world, the church in her beautiful wisdom says, let's set aside a time where we can fast. You see, for some people, fasting is an end in itself. But that's not at all what fasting is for. And when you come to confession and say, I didn't fast, I don't care. That's you and God. That's you. That's your development and growth. Whether you fast or not, that's totally up to you. I'm not your judge. And nor do I think it's a sin to just say, I'm not going to fast. The sin is to not repent. The sin is not to go towards God, not to not fast. I don't care if you have cheeseburgers every day. That's your deal. That's your journey. That's your walk. So fasting is not an end in itself. It's not a goal in itself. It's not something to necessarily be confessed as on its own right. Oh, I didn't fast. I know that. But what the fasting does produce is taking the world off of the plate in terms of the priority. Because food is how everything is centered. We get up and have breakfast. We have lunch. Sometimes we go with colleagues. We have dinner with our family. And sometimes dinner is a very sacred time because we're all together as a family. Everything surrounds food. I'm bored. I'm going to eat something. So fasting says, take your mind off of the world and all of its allurements and all of its enticements. But fasting may also mean, let's turn off the TV because it's just filth anyway. And we all say that, but we all watch it. We don't go to the movies. We don't look at inappropriate things on the internet. Well, we should never do that. We don't entertain ourselves in a worldly way because the task at hand is our salvation. It's something that Adam and Eve failed to do in a fraction of a second in being placed in the garden. We pray. We read scripture. We give alms to the poor. These are not ends in themselves. These are not the goals. These are aids and helps to take us further and further out of the fallen world, which can do nothing for us, and bring us into a realm where we have an opportunity to inch that much towards God. And to repent. And unlike the West, where they give up something for Lent, we don't give up anything for Lent. We turn into the people who we're supposed to be, and then, if we're lucky, and if we're grace-filled, we carry that into the rest of the year. We don't say, well, now that Lent's over, I'll give up, you know, give up being all these virtuous things. No, we just carry that into the rest of the year. What should we put in our bag now? I gave you the little list a few weeks ago of the little incidental things. But in your bag, don't forget to put in the desire to see God, even if you have to climb a tree. Meaning no matter what it takes, no matter what it takes, seek God. Don't forget to pack humility, the firm knowledge of who you are, who I am. You can deceive me, you can deceive others, but we cannot deceive the Almighty. We think we're doing no harm by our secret sins. That's wrong. We're doing tremendous harm. We're doing harm to ourselves, we're doing harm to another person, and we're doing harm to the fish tank in which we all have to live. Being humble means I know exactly who I am. The prodigal son, don't forget to pack the slippers, the robe, and the ring, because that is our high dignity. The meat fair last week, the last judgment, don't forget to put the icon of Christ and the mirror that we talked about. That when we take the mirror out, we're hoping that what we see in the mirror looks like the icon over here. Not our pretty face, but the icon that we see in the mirror is Jesus Christ. Because that's what Christ is hoping to see on the last judgment. What should you take? The final thing to put into the bag, brothers and sisters, as we're being booted out of paradise, grab something from a tree. Grab a twig. Grab a handful of leaves. Grab something to remind us, this is my homeland, paradise. It's not this. It's not Atwater. It's not the world. It's not California. Our homeland is the kingdom that's going to be inaugurated in all of our estimation in a very short time. No one's going to say, wow, that took long enough. We're all going to say, wow, that was short, and I wish I had a million more years to repent. The season of repentance is now. The difficult choices to rip out sin and to cut out sin, the season is now, brothers and sisters. It has nothing to do with the externals. It has nothing to do with the fasting, with the prayer, with the scripture reading, with turning off the TV and getting rid of the internet. Those are all aids to help us to draw near to God. To rip out sin, to cut it out, that's repentance. And every one of us, it's a huge challenge. Some of us might have little things to work on. Some of us might have gigantic things to work on. Things that really are harming our soul. But if we don't repent in any situation, then we get harmed. And God desires in His loving mercy that we be well, that we be sane, that we be in link with Him. Because that is really what the human being's all about, is in the context of God. If we live our lives without the context of God, then we are not fully human. We think we are. We think we're powerful and mighty. But we don't resemble anything that we might see in the mirror. Because Jesus Christ shows us what human beings look like. they look like creatures who have a loving and obedient relationship with God. And he in turn has a loving and obedient relationship with us. What do you mean God's obedient? He listened to what Adam said. When Adam called a zebra a zebra, God said, okay, it's a zebra. Because I gave you co-dominion with me, then therefore I will also follow what you say. And so God has that relationship with us, a relationship that we should have with him, brothers and sisters. God is merciful. And God is loving. And that doesn't go away. And that's irregardless of who you are as a person. That love and that mercy is still there. The problem lies in when we don't want to repent, we actually walk away from that love and mercy. And then it becomes an intellectual exercise. And then it becomes something that I just don't want to bother with in the end. And that's the scary part. When it doesn't make a difference in our behavior to repent. So don't be afraid that God doesn't love you. He loves every single human being because he fashioned us from his hands. Be afraid of our own reaction. Be afraid of our own mentality. Be afraid of our own sinfulness as it leads us further and further from the Almighty. Lent is a time to draw near to God and to experience true joy. It's not a depressing time. It should be a joyful time as we draw near to God and to sort of say to ourselves, now this is what it's like to live. This is what it's like to enjoy and to have pleasure in this world. Because we can. Because the saints showed us how. The saints showed us that we can live in paradise in this world. And our own sinfulness and the punishment that we endure from our own sins can also show us that the world can be a hellish experience. It's really all about our relationship with God. Are we in paradise like the saints? Or are we in hell because we have to succumb to the effects of our own sin? Let's be in paradise. Put that twig in your bag to remind yourself, that's where I belong, is in paradise. And through the great Lent, and through the Almighty God, and through his magnificent church in this world, we have that ability to be in paradise and to eke out our salvation in this world. Amen.